You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Looking into the stars, new research conducted by University of Canterbury Associate Professor Steve Riddell and the Computational Design and Adaption Research Group has been focused on capturing clear images of low Earth orbiting satellites and debris. The latest results have shown a 60% increased improvement in clarity of said images. I spoke to Professor Steve Riddell about his research. We discussed how the project received its funding, the tools that Riddell has employed for satellite imaging, such as adaptive optics, and the hurdles faced by taking the images. What sparked your interest in restoring image quality for low Earth orbiting satellites and debris?
Sure. Well, I've been working and researching in this area called adaptive optics for quite some time, and that is to provide clearer images for exo-atmospheric objects. And as a result of that, there was an opportunity to apply that to space situational awareness, and that's one of the areas that we're currently working in that uses adaptive optics in order to clear up the images. So rather than looking at, for example, galaxies that are many light years away, or interesting objects, or quasars, or pulsars, or those sorts of objects, we're now looking at very small objects, or much, much smaller objects, that are much closer to our Earth. And the satellites are one example. It's mainly defunct satellites rather than operational satellites, which of course is part of what we call space debris.
With the assistance of the Computational Design and Adaption Research Group, how has a multidisciplinary approach helped to elevate your research and look into different kind of areas of space debris?
Well, the multidiscipline comes into effect when we look at the different students that we have and postgraduate students who are working with us. For example, we need students from mechatronics, for example, from software engineering, from computer engineering. So the systems that we're building here are designed to attach onto telescopes, large telescopes that we use at the University of Canterbury Mount John Observatory. And with the instrumentation that we develop here, we enhance the images in real time.
So you've mentioned adaptive optics as helping to improve satellite imaging clarity by 60%. How did you reach the conclusion that adaptive optics would work on atmospheric, minimizing atmospheric turbulence to take sharper imaging of orbiting satellites?
Yeah, well, we have a good background in adaptive optics for objects other than satellites, and there has been a history of using this technology, adaptive optics, to image satellites from Earth and get details of those satellites. In fact, this was used back in the 60s by the US in order to see what others, such as the Russians, for example, were actually putting up in space. So it's not new technology. I think what I need to emphasize is that every telescope, every site is different in the world. So it requires quite a bit of adaptation to adjust the system in order to provide optimal performance of removing the distortion that's caused by the atmospheric turbulence. And anywhere you go, you're going to have turbulence, and that's going to affect your imaging of what we call exo-atmospheric objects, so objects that are beyond our atmosphere. And the adaptive optics basically clears that air, or the dirty air, if you like, between us and the object. Once it's above the layer of dirty air, then it's a vacuum. So then we can actually then see perfectly as far as the objects are concerned. But while we're actually observing through the Earth's atmosphere, it's not a problem.
So the satellite project was assisted by funding provided by the Royal New Society of New Zealand Marsden Fund. What was the application process like? And did you have any contingency plans in the event that funding had fallen through?
The research would have continued anyway, but it would have been a lot slower. And in terms of your first part of your question, the process is a fairly involved process where we prepare an application, and the application that we applied for was with the Marsden Fund, which is part of the Royal Society in New Zealand. And there are various different stages and different types of funding. For new researchers, for example, they have a Marsden Fast Start, where you can apply for, I think it's up to about $350,000 for 3 years. So it's about $100,000 a year, whereas the full Marsden we were rewarded with is probably three or four times that amount, depending upon what the project is, but it's over the same period, which is 3 years. So it is an involved process. It can take up to about probably 9 to 12 months in order for the reviewers, which are expert reviewers from around the world, who will give you feedback on your application. We applied and we were very fortunate. And I think one of the reasons for that was that we were selected was that there are, now that New Zealand is a spacefaring nation in terms of launching spacecraft from Mahi Peninsula, it's certainly within our interest to be able to see what satellites we're putting up there, what's the condition of those satellites, and to be able to minimize any chance of any collision with other satellites, and that causes more and more debris if there is a collision. So we need to make sure that that those satellites are operating and within a zone that they should be in.
And of course, this type of research doesn't come without its without any hiccups. But you mentioned in your press release that Kessler syndrome is an issue that you guys have observed as a potential threat due to debris scattered caused by collisions. How have and the Computational Design and Adaptation Research Group worked to alleviate said threats in order to keep open lines with other satellite monitoring groups?
What we do is we provide a reference point of where the satellite is passing. And we're talking more about defunct satellites, so satellites that have failed in operation. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to pinpoint the exact location of the satellite so we can develop a trajectory of where the satellite is actually heading. And to do that, we use adaptive optics, and adaptive optics provides corrections to the optical path, and so we can get a much more accurate position using this technology, in addition to be able to actually image the satellite itself with higher resolution.
Just finally, are there any future projects on the horizon for you and the Computational Design and Adaptation Research Group similar to the current research you have undertaken?
Yeah, we're looking at future missions that are planned, and that includes cislunar work, which means the space between the outer region of the geo belt, or the because we have the LEO, which is the low Earth orbit, the geostationary orbit, and then we have the cislunar area or space. And so we're actually progressing from LEO to GEO to cislunar, and each layer, if you like, or each of those steps has its own set of complexities that we need to solve.
And that was Associate Professor Steve Waddell discussing his research on satellite imaging and the intricacies behind it.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.